Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner, the podcast where we delve into the latest news through a conservative lens. In each episode, Little Joe sifts through the top headlines and news articles, offering insightful commentary and analysis from a right-leaning perspective. Whether it's politics, culture, or current events, this show explores the issues that matter most to conservative listeners.
Get ready
to cut through the noise and get to the heart of what's really going on in the world today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though, they all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? So before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a credibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out in a comprehensive way, the president's health. This is a president, if you watch him every day, if you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people, how historic his actions have been. And so I'm not even going to take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting, and so we can move on to the next question.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then, big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle class family, a working class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember, when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in a tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget, Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow.
Wow.
She hung.
I thought it was funny. Her response is just—it's so stupid, it's laughable. I had to throw it in there. I mean, everything that she tried to say there was amazing. I really love WKBT, or it's 1110 on the AM there, and your FM dial. I want to say the FM dial is like 99.3 or something like that. From what I saw there in North Carolina. I thought that was highly entertaining, because she had no way of answering anything and just gave the textbook response to it, followed by hanging up the phone. That was pretty good, man. You gotta like that. Democrats can say whatever they want, make up whatever lie they want, and when it comes down to some difficult stuff, when you hit them with some difficult questions, there is no incentive for them to answer anything. It doesn't benefit them to. There is no answer for anything. Most questions you ask them, you already know the answer to, and they know that you know the answer, and there's really nothing for them to say because they fail at every single turn. So she did the textbook thing there, and I just thought it was comical that she got so infuriated by the conversation, had no way of saying anything better, ran through the generalized, vague statements that they like to run through, saying that Biden's done this or that, and try to blame everything on the past administration, as politicians do, followed by telling him, have a wonderful day, and hanging up the phone. they really got to do better with the press secretary. I mean, You know, Democrats, you guys are the ones that, you know, go to Harvard and go to all these, you know, think tank colleges, and you think that you guys would be super educated and you could actually hold your own in a debate or a conversation, but apparently you can't. And you guys are very weak-minded and emotional about everything, and you just can't stand there and have a conversation with anybody. You freak out, flip out, say what you got to say, and storm out before anybody else has anything to say to you. Or, oh, God love it. You got to love it, man. It was good. It's good. It was entertaining. If you're from North Carolina, that might be more entertaining. Maybe you got to hear that twice. I don't know. Anyways, we're going to move on. But it was entertaining. 13 Democrat state attorney generals target Glock for machine gun Glocks. 13 Democrat attorney generals who wrote a letter to the renowned gun maker Glock, noting Chicago's lawsuit against them, the company, and expressing concerns over a machine gun Glock. The AGs that represent Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington, and Washington, D.C., in a letter that was dated on March 26, 2024, referencing a Chicago lawsuit against Glock. The suit was reported on March 19, 2024, noting that the Windy City claimed Glock is liable for the ease in which Glock switch can be used to convert a semi-automatic handgun into a full auto. Mayor Brandon Johnson, Democrat, commented on the suit, said the city of Chicago is encountering a deadly new frontier in the gun violence plaguing our communities because of the increase of fully automatic Glocks on our streets. Selling firearms, that can so easily be converted into automatic weapons makes heinous acts even more deadly. So we're doing everything that we can in collaboration with others committed to ending gun violence to hold Glock accountable for putting profit over public safety. The suit points to China as one of the sources for Auto Sears, the central company of Glock Switch. But they do not explain to the degree which China is allegedly committed to saturating the United States with such a switch. Yeah, so with that being said, let me start with your Second Amendment is under attack and will always be under attack. That is nothing new. Chicago's gun violence should be nothing new as well, as the Windy City tends to be a very violent place to be in the first place. And now that it's run by communist Democrats, it's not like it's getting any better. They're not allowing police officers to do their job just like they do in many Democratic states. Therefore, crime is running rampant and will only continue to get worse. If they would actually take the time to allow police officers to do their job and enforce the laws, then they probably wouldn't be having the problems that they have today. The second part of this is going to be, if you're a lawful gun owner and the accessory that you are buying for said gun is not an illegal accessory for the gun, then you aren't doing anything wrong. What they're doing is they know they can't come after you. Those cases get shut down repeatedly. So they're trying to turn and put the pressure on gun makers themselves. Figure this. If you're a gun maker and I keep you wrapped up in court and you are paying somebody, you're paying a lawyer and probably a very good lawyer and probably a pretty handsome salary to defend you. If they can't come after us, well, if they can stay on you and stay on the company and eventually exhaust the company's profits or get under the company's skin so much that they just don't want to do it or don't want to sell it anymore, that is the back doorway into getting rid of guns. That is what they are currently doing. That's why they go after the NRA. That's why they go after Glock. That's why they go after Smith & Wesson. That's why they go after bump stocks. That's why they go after any firearm maker, and they will continue to do so, especially if they see that they're having some success. And up till now, they haven't been very successful in any of their attempts, but doesn't mean that they won't be in the future. And again, you could simply just be pissing these people off, and they see that they're pissing away their profits by constantly paying a lawyer to defend them, that Glock just throws her hands up and says, yes, we're just not going to do it anymore. We're not going to make that particular thing. We need to get these people off of our back. We're done. You would be surprised how quickly companies fold when money is just bleeding like that. A lot of people, I don't know what the profit margin is for Glock. I don't know, their internal numbers. But there's always, a certain loss you can take, and anything beyond that becomes a problem. And if you are paying somebody that's hung up in court, I would venture to say, if you got a really good lawyer, man, they're on the payroll. They got to be making at least in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, I know for a company like Glock, that's probably pennies. I get that. But that's at least. But remember, they also don't only ever work with one lawyer. They could have one lawyer. They could have multiple. They could have five or six people on a team that defend them. And each one of them could make anywhere from a couple hundred thousand dollars to a couple million dollars a year. That's a lot of money to be tied up in court consistently, where you're paying these people and all of their time and efforts are there to try to stop the Democratic Party from doing something illegal and coming after them. I would imagine it gets tiresome. So our gun rights are under attack again, per normal, as they are every single day, except they're going in a little bit of a different direction, and we have to stay on top of it and know everything that's going on, because if we don't, how could you possibly fight something that you're not educated on or you didn't even know was happening? Something I didn't get a chance to talk about, because it doesn't really, it's news, but probably not surprising news. I'm probably real late on even saying anything about this, but Candace Owens and the Daily Wire parted ways, and she looked pretty excited. If you follow her, and I do, she was pretty excited to leave. She feels like she's free to do what she wants to do now, and I don't know if there's going to be any explanation to those comments or not, because it didn't look like they stopped her from saying or doing anything. It didn't look that way. I mean, if she was going to go harder than what she goes already, then wow, it's kind of messed up that you're stopping people from doing that. But she's parting ways with them anyways, and she's going to do her solo thing. And it looks like she's pretty stoked about it and excited about it. I haven't seen too much come out of the Daily Wire about it, but I figure I'd throw it out there just in case you didn't know. I'm assuming most everybody knew by now. Not like it's a big surprise. Interesting. RFK Jr. came out and said he would be choosing Nicole Shanahan as his running mate should he terrify Biden in floundering re-election campaign. The question obviously was asked, who will RFK Jr. target? Trump or Biden? And now we know he's pretty much coming after Biden. He's committed to that. And his running mate, Shanahan, she is definitely a communist leftist. If you want to attract Trump voters, you don't choose a running mate who, per the far left New York Times, was once married to the Google co-founder Sergey Brin, and has a history of making donations to Democratic campaigns, including Biden's campaign run in 2020, but she gave to Mr. Kennedy's presidential campaign in 2023 when he decided to run. Per San Francisco Magazine, that's just the least of it. Another important area of investments, criminal justice reform, is one that Shanahan has been devoted to for years, long before Black Lives Matter movement. I remember telling Sergey's foundation's head about that 5 years ago, that criminal justice reform was going to be one of the biggest topics of our generation, she says, and I'm happy that I could be a major donor for Measure J in Los Angeles County, which was voted in and will be rerouting some of the law enforcement budget towards mental and social services. Shanahan notes that having a mental health professional on the scene of George Floyd's arrest would have de-escalated the situation and possibly saved his life. Turning Point USA's founder, Charlie Kirk, laid it out this way. Shanahan is a six-figure donor to George Garson, the pro-crime Soros-backed prosecutor who helped wreck San Francisco and is currently wrecking LA. She also spent big on Measure J, a Los Angeles measure to reroute spending from law enforcement and prisons to social services and mental health treatment. In other words, not putting criminals and dangerous psychos behind bars. This far left pick by RFK, who is apparently looking to shore up his progressive bona fides, it's just not looking good for him. I was a little bit concerned about RFK because being an independent, you just never know. And it's not that I believe that he could win, but I do believe that he could siphon votes from Trump. Do I think that he would siphon votes from Biden? Maybe, maybe not. Depends. But he certainly would for Trump, because you still have these people that don't like Trump and would rather go with somebody that claims to be an independent, and RFK is certainly not an independent, but claims to be one, and it would hurt us in the election in November. So pay attention to that. I don't think that that's going to help him in his cause. If you're choosing a really far left radical, I think that that's probably more beneficial to our side than Biden's side, to be honest with you. I think Biden's side, that's just your run of the mill right now, that's your norm. For our side, an independent, seeing that you're going to have somebody that radical with you that is so far left, that independent's probably going to end up sticking with Trump, even though they may not want to. They'll know that that's the better choice. You know, they're going to play that pick the lesser of the two evils game. So I think it's a good thing, personally.
And that wraps up another episode of Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
Thank you for tuning in and joining the conversation.
Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on all our latest episodes. And join us next time as we continue to explore the issues that shape our world. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.